This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Trip taco just $2.99. Comes with a big queue, this deal so fine. Brisket breakfast, so much to choose. For $2.99, you really can't
taco,
lose.
Taco, 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 taco.
This deal legit.
Taco, taco, taco.
Only at Quick Trip.
Taco to go, taco to go, taco to go.
$2.99.
This is Wisconsin Sports Daily, served up by Wyoming. Steve Sparky Fiverr with you. Charlie Hughes producing today's show. Still to come, John McNamara, BadgerBlitz.com. Talk about all the portal transfer additions the Badgers basketball team has made here in the last several days at 3:20. Ian Cummings, NFL draft analyst from ProFootballNetwork.com, joins us for our Green and Gold update coming up at 4 o'clock. And just added, Austin Herdina, Potawatomi Sportsbook manager, will join us coming up at 4:45. Give us his thoughts, his tips on the Masters Golf Tournament coming up this week as well. So lots to get to, but my guy is with us now, Sam Dykstra, MLB Pipeline. Follow him on Twitter at Sam Dykstra, MILB. Sam, thanks for coming on, man. Appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me again.
I warned you via text that Brewers fans were none too happy with this trade that the Milwaukee Brewers made earlier today. They feel like they got ripped off. And so I figured we'd get you on to either throw some gas on that fire, or maybe calm things down a little bit, depending on your opinion on everybody involved. Let's first start off with the Brewers player that they are getting from the Boston Red Sox, a former first-round pick of the Pirates in 19 out of high school, right-handed pitcher Quinn Priester. He will be in Colorado with the Brewers and inserted into this rotation, it sounds like, right away in this series. Your thoughts on Quinn Priester over the last couple of years and what you saw in the spring?
Yeah, Quinn Priester's kind of an interesting arm for me because when he was traded from the Pirates to the Red Sox last year, that made my ears perk up because the Red Sox have been going or undergoing a pitching revolution sort of under Craig Breslow and Andrew Bailey at the major league level that basically says, hey, if you don't have a very good four-seam fastball, don't throw it. Throw your good pitches. And so you saw his slider usage rate go from 21% in Indianapolis with the Pirates to 30% in Worcester with the Red Sox, and it had a 51% whiff percentage. So it seemed to be like something was clicking there. He became more of a sinker slider guy moving east-west. And I thought that was going to really work well in the Red Sox pitching pipeline. Then some other guys have moved past him, it seems like, in the depth chart. But I still like the Brewers' ability to develop pitching, especially at those upper levels. And I think they were looking at some of the guys they had knocking on that door in Nashville, many of which we've talked about in the past, Jacob Mizorowski, Logan Henderson. They're off to some rough control starts. Mizorowski, not a surprise. Henderson, a little bit more so. And I don't think they wanted to throw those guys in the fire, but they need the starting depth. They saw Priester available in Boston with too many arms now. It seemed like there's something there they liked, and it wouldn't shock me if it was that slider.
So the one thing with Priester is his fastball velocity, based on what I read earlier, went from 93 to 96 this spring, and he's throwing it harder, topping out at, I think, a 97 on one pitch, maybe earlier in the spring, which is nice. Then we were looking at Baseball Savant, and he barely threw the fastball. He barely threw the cutter. He barely threw the changeup. My producer, Charlie, goes, I bet you money with Chris Hook, he'll end up throwing those more than he did last year. How would you go about utilizing him better?
Yeah, I mean, for me, I think I would lean into that slider even more. I mean, that first start he had for Worcester this year was 26% usage rate. I would get that up even more so if that four-seamer is not going to work, and that four-seamer averaged 94 which is a touch up from where it was. Even the sinker, like you said, was a touch up in his first start for Worcester this year, is averaging 94.9. So that's good. If he's throwing harder, that's a clear good sign. But again, I think we're kind of in this age where if you have a breaking ball, that's your best pitch. Use it like your primary pitch. Use it to keep guys off, and don't try to establish the fastball just to pitch like it's 1985 again.
Yeah, that sometimes is what happens in Major League Baseball. So Quinn Priester comes from the Red Sox to the Brewers, talking with Sam Dykstra, MLB Pipeline. Follow him on Twitter at Sam Dykstra, MILB. Now let's talk about what the Brewers gave up. Your thoughts on a guy that they spent the most money on in the international draft a couple of years ago, or the international signings, not draft, international signings, outfielder Yofre Rodriguez, the Brewers prospect who was at Class A ball. Thoughts on him?
Yeah, Yofre Rodriguez, I really liked him just because he was in that line with Jackson Chourio or Jesus Madé, who a lot of people were talking about over the weekend, jumping to single-A Carolina. This time last year, he opened up with Carolina, skipped over the Arizona Complex League completely, was one of the youngest players in all of single-A ball, and pretty much held his own. You know, 250 batting average doesn't pop off the page necessarily, but a strong walk rate, 726 OPS, a WRC plus above average, over 110 games. They got him a little time with Wisconsin at the end of the year for the playoff run just because he's a talented player. You want as much talent on that roster as possible. And then they pushed him to high A again this year, and he got off to a strong start, 5-for-12 with a double and a triple. I think this year was maybe the year things were going to start to pop off for him a little bit because they were trying to add verticality to his swing. He was hitting a good amount of ground balls last year. They think the strength was kind of coming along because, again, he's only 19. He only turned 19 in December. So there's some interesting pieces to like there, and I think part of this, you make this move for in the Brewers' heads, I'm guessing. I haven't asked around about this yet, but Rodriguez is 2-3 years away. Priester fills a need right now, and if you're looking at this NL Central, it's winnable, it's gettable. It's tougher to get a wild card spot. So fill the needs that you have. If Rodriguez makes Fenway Park in 3 years and looks great, that's fine. But like, you're worried about 2025 first, and he's not coming up this year.
So this is the thing. So Priester fills a need now, providing he doesn't stink. Sure. Yes,
yeah,
that's
right,
fine,
yeah.
Providing he doesn't stink. And that's where, again, we go back to the first question of the day was, should we give the Brewers the benefit of the doubt on this trade because of Chris Hook, who's got look, Tyler Alexander was throwing no-hit ball. When they had Tyler Alexander, I was like, oh, my God, what are we doing? We don't need to watch this. And then he goes out there and throws no-hit ball for, 5 2/3 or whatever it was over the weekend. So I think that's part of it. But they have him under control for several years, that being Quinn Priester. But really, what is Quinn Priester's ceiling? Like, you could look at Yofre Rodriguez and go, yeah, man, that dude can steal bases, got a little bit of pop. You know, he could be something at some point. What is Priester? Because if he's, in my mind, if he's not a, I don't know, a top three rotation guy, they're probably going to regret this.
Yeah, I mean, I think the ceiling would be a 3, but I don't think he's ever going to get much above a 4. So that is a difficult pill to swallow. I think it helps, again, that it's controllable pitching. This is not a rental. This
right.
is not like this is a guy who's going to be here for a while if everything clicks. And controllable pitching is expensive. You do have to pay a big price for that. I would have been interested if it was Rodriguez alone. The fact that it was also the draft pick, I think, is something that really, again, arched my eyebrow and was like, okay, they're really pushing chips into the middle of the table here by mortgaging off part of the future, not the complete future. Madé is not included in this. Jefferson Caro is not included in this. None of the top 100 guys are, but like they're putting in some chips that are far away, but could have some decent ceilings.
Can I just say this? I really want to emphasize this. I said back in spring training, guys, Colby Mayo is blocked in Baltimore right now. That takes care of third base or potentially first after Hoskins is done. Go push chips in and go give me Colby Mayo. If they would have given up this for Mayo, I would have been completely fine. I would have been ecstatic and said, we're good, let's roll. But to give it up for a guy that's not worked at two stops now and a team in Boston that gave up on him after a half a season, one start, I'm very concerned about this. Now, you know this better than I do. That comp pick, which is 32, I believe, in this draft, what type of success rate are we talking about from that pick?
I mean, it's always in the periphery, and it depends on how you use it, right? And I think it's 33rd, technically, but that's around $2.7 million in drafts bonus slots. So you could use that on a guy who's, like, worth $2.7 million in the draft, Or you could use that extra money to sprinkle it around. You could take a college senior, but like that means you get a higher ceiling pick in the first round, or somebody who falls to the third round, and you're like, oh, I can't believe he's still here. Must be a money issue. Well, we have that $2.7 million from the 33rd overall pick. It's not just like the pick itself. It's the money that comes with it. That's going to be part of the pie for Boston now. Instead of
what Milwaukee. What is that? $3 million that comes with it or something like that?
Last year was around 2.7. It's probably going to get bumped up a little bit closer to 2.8 this year. We'll see what it's going to be. But it's still a good chunk of change either way.
Now, explain how that works as far as the pool of money that you get for the draft and then how they utilize it.
Yeah, so each pick you have in the first 10 rounds is assigned a specific slot value. So if you pick first overall, that's the highest you go all the way down through the first 10 rounds. Then after, for rounds 11 through 20, it's all assigned. I think it's $150,000. But you have a certain pool based off all of that. You put all those picks together, all the slot values together. That is your pool. You don't have to necessarily spend all of that money on one pick. You can nickel and dime it here and there, put all the pieces together as long as you stay within that pool or a little bit over. If you go over, there are penalties that happen beyond that. So some teams like to just stick to the slots and try to draft guys where they're able and where they think they fit. And some teams like to take big swings and, like I said, draft college seniors later who don't have much leverage and will sign for $10,000. But that means you get the high school senior who's throwing 98 and was dropping for, but signability reasons.
That's essentially what the Brewers – the Brewers saved money and took a swing on Cooper Pratt. And that looks like it worked out just fine.
That's a perfect example of that, right? The Brewers have done a really good job of that in recent years. And I remember when that Cooper Pratt pick went down, it shocked a lot of people in the industry, including Jim Callis, who I work with. He loved Cooper Pratt out of the draft. He's like, I can't believe this guy's going as far as he's going. This clearly means he's going to school. And the Brewers are like, no, we have the money to make this work. I think they like being creative in the draft, so I'm a little interested that they were willing to give up this much money. Never mind just the pick. It's the fact that they're willing to give up, again, around $2.8 million in draft capital to bring in Quinn Priester.
And a player to be named later. Again, it's three dudes for Quinn Priester. I cannot... Again, I want to believe in Chris Hook. I do. I love Chris Hook. We've had him on the show. I wish he had his own talk show because he'd be amazing. But I swear to you, I'm struggling with this, Sam.
I hear you. I think there's something about Quinn Priester's pitch mix. I mean, this has happened now for two teams. I always ask players this, like, how do you view a trade? Is it that you were traded away by one team or that you were acquired by another? In this case, guess based off the package that they've gotten back, I think this is the Brewers identifying something with Quinn Priester. I think the fact that, like you said, the velo's up a little bit, that's going to make the sinker play a little bit better. They think they might be getting him at a good time where he's still malleable. They can still fix him or move some stuff around, but that velo's on the upswing. That might be the perfect time to get him.
And again, high ground ball percentage rate, not a lot of barreling up of Priester. So I think both of those probably play into it too when you got a great defense behind him like the Brewers do.
I think that's huge, too. Yeah, if you're going to get a lot of ground balls, you want guys like Joey Ortiz and Bryce Terang behind you, for sure.
There he is. Make sure to follow him online. Sam Dykstra, MILB. He is amazing. Thanks so much for coming on, Sam. Appreciate it.
Yeah, anytime. Thanks so much for having me.